You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert. Coming up on Wisconsin Life, we'll learn about a Milwaukee native who became the only American woman ever executed on the direct order of Adolf Hitler for her involvement in the Berlin resistance movement. First, trust between law enforcement and communities of color has deteriorated on the national level in the wake of several high-profile police shootings of unarmed black men in the last several years. Rebuilding the trust between police and the community was the focal point of a policing conference on Friday at UW-Platteville. Gina Barton covered the conference, and she joins us now to share the details. She's the law enforcement investigative reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Gina, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Gina, what was the goal of this conference?
The goal of this conference was to try and help community members and members of law enforcement build trust and legitimacy and learn to work better together so that some of these fatal uses of force could be avoided.
So it sounds like representatives from both groups were there. Who were the main attendees?
There were police officers there and national experts. There were also community activists and also some students studying criminal justice. So the keynote speaker was Chuck Wexler, who is the executive director of the Police Executive Research Forum in Washington, D.C., and he's extremely well known in terms of coming up with progressive ways to help police do a better job in serving their community.
And you wrote in your piece that some starting points for conversation included better police training and building personal relationships and also acknowledging that race and ethnicity can impact an officer's actions. So starting with improving police training, what did you hear about that?
Well, one of the new ideas in police training is de-escalation, which basically means instead of using force, that when a police officer is called to a tense scene, they should try to calm everybody down. And so one of the suggestions is that that is adopted as agency policy. And another new tactic that they were discussing is using fatal force kind of as a last resort, which is sort of the philosophy now, but it's not necessarily written into people's policies. And some people seem to think that the police officers could use better training in terms of coming up with alternatives to fatal force and gunfire specifically.
And those examples of improved police training you were talking about, would those represent a pretty significant shift in the way police are trained now?
Well, I think that both of these ideas are just starting to come to the forefront of police training in recent years. And hopefully the people at the conference were all very optimistic that they would gain greater legitimacy and be used more often.
We're talking with Gina Barton right now. She is the law enforcement investigative reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And we're talking about the 21st Century Policing Conference that was held at UW-Platteville on Friday. And Gina, another one of those talking points was an emphasis on building personal relationships. How did that conversation unfold?
Well, one of my favorite speakers at this conference was a sergeant from the police department in Darlington, Wisconsin. And that's a small community in southwest Wisconsin. And about 15 years ago, they had a large influx of Mexican nationals and Latino people when a company called Mexican Cheese Producers came in. And this was a controversy, first of all, because it was not a diverse community at the time, and second of all, because a lot of the people who came in were not in the country legally. And so the police department there, instead of focusing on whether the new residents of the community were legal or illegal, illegally in the country, said, hey, we're going to have an open-door policy, we're going to build relationships with people. And so this particular police sergeant had an open door policy and did everything from helping Spanish speakers to schedule their oil changes to bringing in an attorney to do a seminar to help people gain legal residency. And so by building those relationships and building that trust, he then was able to solve several crimes, including two murders and a multi-state prostitution ring.
So it sounds like in that case, the police department really also became a resource for the community and was really embedded in the fabric.
Yes, they definitely did. And I think that a lot of police agencies talk about how building relationships and building trust in the community and community policing is important for reducing crime. But I think this particular community really is a good example for what concrete steps departments can take to do that.
And then lastly, I want to talk about another major talking point at this conference, which was acknowledging that race and ethnicity can impact an officer's actions. And I guess part of this is recognizing that there is such a thing as bias, but if you are trained, you can recognize it and you can work to avoid it. So what did you hear about that conversation point?
Right. And I mean, one of the community activists who spoke on a panel in particular was very, very emphatic about the idea that people need to start talking about racism, because if communities don't have those conversations with those police departments and everybody pretends race is not an issue, that doesn't help any problems get solved. That doesn't help misunderstandings get solved. And so one of the main speakers talked about implicit bias, which is basically that people's own upbringing and life experiences are going to lead them to feel certain ways about certain groups of people, even though they might not consciously know that. And so there are all kinds of exercises that people can do and questionnaires that they can fill out that they use with police officers to help them realize, oh boy, you know, I do feel this way about a certain group and I didn't even know it. And then once they recognize that bias, they can work to stop having the bias and also to not let that bias affect the way they do their job.
And I liked one of the quotes that you had in your piece. One of the officers there said, you know, I might not be able to change how someone has grown up for the past 20 years, but I can change how they live for the next 20 or 30 years in the future.
Right. That was Dr. Mark Bowman, who is the director for the Center for Excellence in Justice Administration in North Carolina. And he is the one who has done a lot of study about this implicit bias and, you know, found that if police officers learn to recognize those biases and if they get the training, then they become less likely to use deadly force.
Now, there was a representative, at least one that you wrote about, from Young, Gifted, and Black, Brandi Grayson, and she shared some words with the attendees there. What did she say?
Right, and she was the woman I was referencing earlier who said, you know, we really need to acknowledge that racism exists in Wisconsin and among police officers. And she believes that the community should have some control over policing, over who's hired and what the rules are for police officers and how they act. There was another community activist there, Amelia Roycomore, who agreed with a lot of her ideas. And the two of them were saying, unless the community has meaningful input into the way policing is done and also into the way police officers are held accountable when they do use fatal force, that trust is never going to be built.
And Gina, going forward, were there takeaways from this conference that were going to be acted upon soon in the police departments who were attending?
Well, I think one major thing is that there were a lot of criminal justice students there. And so I think one major point of this conference was to take these people who will soon enter the criminal justice field and kind of help them be thinking about these concepts and bringing them to whatever departments they enter when they start their careers. But then also, I think the conversations are definitely going to continue about how to build trust, how to build legitimacy, how to improve these relationships. And I think, you know, getting to meet people like that sergeant from Darlington could really be instructive for police officers in places like Milwaukee, where they're still trying to build trust between the African-American community and the police department.
Gina, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
That was Gina Barton, law enforcement investigative reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And she was with us there talking about the 21st Century Policing Conference held at UW-Platteville on Friday.